produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Normal's Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers can listen in to the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Thursday is when we focus on legal and legislative issues here on the program. After breaking news, we'll hear our first Prohibition Watch segment. This week, we hear about some surprising information from Seattle with Dominic Holden. Our interview today features Keith Strump with his first-hand look at the recent Normal Aspen legal seminars that included a gathering at Hunter Thompson's ranch. Keith also stays with us into our Ask the Lawyers segment, answering questions about the recent Indian Country hemp court decision. Music on the program today features George Clinton. Normal's Audio Stash kicks back with some great tunes every day. We'll have a state policy focus every Thursday. This week, it's New Jersey. Our winner in Tuesday's Free Stuff giveaway is announced, along with our second web poll of the week. And we'll wrap things up with some pod-safe music, all here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's breaking news from Normal. Our news today from New Jersey. New Jersey hears medical marijuana testimony today. A bill that seeks to legalize the medical use of cannabis by authorized patients in New Jersey will be heard by state legislators today. If passed, Senate Bill 88, the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act, would protect qualified patients who use cannabis medicinally from arrest, prosecution, property forfeiture, and other state criminal penalties. Senator Joseph Vitale, Democrat of Middlesex, who heads the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, called for the hearing at which several experts, including Normal Advisory Board member Dr. John P. Morgan, are scheduled to speak. I asked Ken Wolski of Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey what the testimony would entail.
These are limited informational hearings. Unfortunately, the whole thing's going to be over in about a half an hour. But we do have some pretty big guns that we're bringing in. The senator who's sponsoring the bill, Nick Scutari, is going to be testifying. We've got John Morgan coming in, Dr. Morgan from New York, who's an eminent expert on medical marijuana. And we have Sharon Rayner from the New Jersey State Nurses Association, who's going to be testifying. And we have two old friends of mine who are on the, who are also going to be testifying, Don McGrath and his wife, Jerry. And Don is on the board of directors of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana. So these will be the people who will be actually testifying in person in front of the committee. And we've been soliciting testimony, written testimony, from anybody who's interested to try to influence the senators on the committee also.
Normal senior policy analyst Paul Armentano will be presenting written testimony at the hearing in favor of Senate Bill 88. You can download a copy of Mr. Armentano's testimony from Normal's website. We've got a link at normalaudiostash.com. New Jersey Governor John Corzine has previously expressed support for such a law, which is similar to medical marijuana laws in 11 other states. As proposed, SB 88 would apply to people with, quote, debilitating medical conditions, close quote, such as cancer, multiple sclerosis, and HIV. Qualifying patients would receive a, quote, registry identification card, close quote, and would be able to possess no more than 6 marijuana plants and 1 ounce of usable marijuana. The New Jersey State Nurses Association, which represents over 110,000 registered nurses statewide, supports the measure. Quote, The goal of Senate Bill 88 is not to sanction the use of cannabis by the general population, close quote, says Normal's Paul Armentano. He continued, quote, rather it is to protect those patients and their doctors who recognize that cannabis has medical utility and uphold the sanctity and privacy of the doctor-patient relationship, close quote. More information about this story and links to Normal's testimony are up at normalaudios-.com. Welcome here to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit NORML.org. It's 4:20 here on the Audio Stash. Our focus Thursdays are legal and legislative issues. Based in Washington, D.C., these topics are at the core of the Normal Foundation. We start our legal day with Prohibition Watch. This week, we look into some excessive force in the Northwest and some surprising state-funded snitching. Dominic Holden sends us this report. From Normal's Daily Audio Stash, it's Prohibition Watch. Keeping the system honest one podcast at a time. This week, some surprises on police force and state-run snitching programs in a report from Dominic Holden.
Washington's finest want people to think that they are even finer, but some of these heroes in blue are making people blue as well. According to the Seattle Weekly, when a Seattle police officer held his gun an inch from a man's temple one night last summer in a Seattle park and said something about blowing the man's brains out, who was the cop arresting? A murderer? A rapist? Or a child molester? Nope. Try a dope smoker, and just one joint at that. As the man said to the cop, it's only marijuana. But the man swallowed the weed. The officer grabbed him by the throat or jaw, grabbed a gun at his head, and threatened to knock him out with a punch. Fortunately, the officer didn't shoot, and also was brought up on disciplinary charges that were sustained. From joints to joint efforts. Last week, envelopes of coupons sent by the Valpak company arrived in mailboxes across the state. Each included a leaflet offering $5,000 for information leading to the seizure of marijuana plants and the arrest of marijuana growers. I decided to do some research. The program advertised in Valpak has existed since 1984, and the lieutenant governor, known for his harsh stance on marijuana, has long advertised it on his homepage. Some folks will open these little blue envelopes, think about the person they detest for whatever reason, and drop the dime, thereby joining a growing society of snitches. Most people will simply throw them in the recycle bin, right where this reporter thinks they belong. For the Normal Podcast, I'm Dominic Holden in Seattle, Washington.
This has been Prohibition Watch. Keeping the system honest, one podcast at a time from Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Thanks to Dominic Holden for that report. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com for links and more info. Next up today, it's our daily interview here on The Stash, and it is a real privilege here today to present Mr. Keith Straup, founder of Normal, a very active legal counselor and an inspiration to all of us who seek marijuana law reform. Keith attended the Normal Legal Seminars in Aspen just last week. Today, we get a first-hand rundown of the mile-high happenings up there. Keith, thanks for joining us here on the Audio Stash today. Tell us about this Aspen Legal Seminar. There was quite a turnout of lawyers and Aspen locals up there, I hear.
Well, first off, I would say that the seminar itself was really one of the finest seminars we've sponsored over the years. It was just first rate, and I was thrilled at the end of it. We had people like Sheriff Bob Broaddus that welcomed us to Aspen. He was the first person to say thanks for coming. It always makes you feel good when you're working with Normal when the local sheriff is a friend, and he is. He's a longtime friend of Hunter Thompson's and of ours. We had Jerry Goldstein from San Antonio, Texas, speaking. Jerry's an excellent speaker and a lead lawyer around the country. We had two young lawyers from Colorado, Chris Hammond and Robert Corey, talking about the medical issue in Colorado. We had Leonard Freeling, who's an experienced lawyer in Boulder, Colorado, talking about the ethics of setting fees and preparing witnesses. Jerry Merritt, who's a world-class lawyer, who's also frequently on talk shows on TV. She's from Denver. She spoke. We had Ann Arbor, who is a public defender trainer from Colorado. We had a woman from Washington, Corrine Carey, who talks about child welfare and custody issues when the parents smoke marijuana. You know, what issues arise from that. Harold Haddon was a featured speaker. Harold's very well known and has handled lots of national major cases, including lots of them that people have watched on TV. We also had Mike Stepanian from San Francisco talking about ethics and professionalism. We had Lisa Wayne from Denver talking about voir dire, Abraham Hutt from Denver talking about defending DUID cases, and Martin Sabelli from San Francisco talking about how to impeach a snitch when he's on the stand. So in 3 days, where we let people out by about 1 o'clock, we had a terrific lineup of speakers and topics. It was really a first-rate legal seminar.
Now, Normal has something called the Normal Legal Committee. It's one of the most important arms of the foundation, with hundreds of lawyers nationwide.
That's right. We have a total of about 400 lawyers across country who are members of our Normal Legal Committee. These are people who self-identify as having a special interest in this area and are basically soliciting the opportunity to represent marijuana smokers. We have in addition to the seminar we just completed at Aspen, we have an annual seminar in Key West, Florida that we've held for, I believe, 23 years in a row now. And we get another 150 or 200 lawyers every the first weekend of December every year down there. So it is only one subset of the Normal network, but it's a terribly important subset. Now, by the way, lest I make this seem like all everybody did was work hard all weekend, let me quickly point out that that is not the case at our legal seminars. We leave the afternoons free for people to get out and enjoy the area. And then secondly, we plan some significant social events. In Aspen, we had a major dinner one night at the home of Jerry and Chris Goldstein. Jerry's a prominent criminal defense lawyer in the country and a co-chair of our legal committee. And at that dinner, we presented a posthumous award to Hunter S. Thompson. Hunter was a member of our advisory board for more than 30 years, and unfortunately he died about a year and a half ago. This is the first time we'd been back to Aspen since his death. And I had been there personally to go to his funeral, but the first time we'd had a normal meeting. And it was somewhat bittersweet, but it was wonderfully moving. We gave the award, this award we presented to both his widow, who's Anita Thompson, and his son, whose name is Juan Thompson, who lives in Denver. We then had a major, wonderful event on Saturday where Hunter Thompson's widow, Anita, invited us out to the Owl Farm, which is the name of the farm that Hunter lived at and worked at for over 35, 40 years, the last 35, 40 years of his life. And it's where friends of his, like myself, we used to go out and stay with him there. She invited the entire group who attended the seminar, as well as a lot of our friends in the Aspen area, to come out for what we called a high tea at Hunter Thompson's Owl Farm. And it was a picnic, and we just had a marvelous time. They had a band playing out in the front yard, and some people were there with their young children. Others were, you know, childless and were having a good time, but it was a just marvelous group. I literally left Aspen this time feeling perhaps more inspired than I ever have been. I thought it was an absolutely moving 3 or 4 days, and I think anyone who attended probably felt the same way.
Keith, the connection with Hunter S. Thompson to both you and Normal is decades old and in many ways very personal. Is Hunter what brought Normal to Aspen for these events sort of in the first place?
I met Hunter Thompson at the Democratic National Convention in Miami, Florida. And strange as it is, of course, I'd heard about him, but back in that point, he wasn't nearly so famous, and I hadn't had a chance to meet him, but I knew who he was. I was sitting in the bleachers the first day of the convention, and I smelled marijuana smoke. And I looked down between my legs and underneath the bleachers, and I saw a guy that looked kind of tall and lanky, and I thought, man, is that Hunter Thompson character that I've read about in Rolling Stone? So I raced down the bleachers and found my way under them and got down there and introduced myself and told them that I was heading up Normal. We'd only recently started the Normal. And we smoked that joint and formed a friendship that, frankly, lasted up till the time of his death. Within a few months, he joined Normal's advisory board. Many years, he came to our national conference and spoke and obviously thrilled a lot of people who, by this point, he was a famous journalist and a famous author, and gave people a chance to get to know him and to hang out with him. He was a wonderful man, probably the most creative person I've ever spent time around. And I dearly loved the time I spent with him. And as I say, usually about once every year, I would find an excuse to come to Aspen for 3, 4, 5 days, primarily just so I could go out and spend time with Doc. He was just a wonderful man to spend time with, and we miss him enormously.
Keith, I spoke with you briefly by telephone from the seminar, and you were just so jazzed up there. What was it like personally for you last week in Aspen?
Well, partly it is that you're in a community where there's no antagonism towards those who want to live life a little differently than somebody else. They kind of value that. They welcome it. They encourage you to do your own thing. From the legal seminar itself, I thought the people who spoke were just absolutely fantastic. It was a world-class faculty, and as good as we ever have wherever we're holding the seminar. But even more important, to me anyway, was that the time I spent with both the speakers and the local people from Aspen and the people who are attending the seminar, I felt like I left there as part of a family with these folks. We talked a lot about the cases we've lost and the people that were sent to jail unfairly. We talked a lot about the cases we won and the people we kept out of jail. But mainly, you know, when you're doing this kind of work, when you're trying to defend people against marijuana charges or when you're trying to legalize marijuana, it's fairly easy to get beat down emotionally. There are times when you realize most of the world is still against us and we've got a long way to go. It's very reinforcing emotionally to spend 3 or 4 days like we did in Aspen, where everyone around, everyone attending the events, are totally in agreement with our position and encouraging us and donating money and anything else they can do to help us achieve that goal more quickly. So what happens with me, I sometimes go into these meetings a little tired and worn out, and I come out of them just emotionally ready to go. I feel my batteries have been recharged, my spirit's been lifted, and it reminds me that it's important. There are an awful lot of people who've had their lives ruined in this country by these marijuana laws. It's time we fix that. And frankly, I think we're very close. You know, 47% of the American public, according to one recent survey, have smoked marijuana at some time in their life. So we're close to a tipping point where we will have more living Americans who have smoked than who have not. And I frankly do not believe the government can maintain the criminal prohibition of marijuana much longer once we have a majority of people who have smoked. So when I'm in Aspen, I always feel like we've arrived. We're with a community of people who are like-minded.
Keith, thanks so much for sharing all this about the Aspen Legal Seminars, and I'm sure all the lawyers in America are looking forward to Key West.
Thank you. Call anytime, friend.
Thanks to Keith for sharing his experiences in Aspen, and we're all looking forward to the next legal seminars in Key West, Florida. We'll stay with Keith Strupp and talk about the recent ruling against an attempt to grow industrial hemp on reservation land with our next segment, Ask the Lawyers. It's time for Ask the Lawyers. That's right, here on the Daily Audio Stash, every Thursday we've got a segment called Ask the Lawyers, where we'll take an in-depth look at some legal questions happening in the world of cannabis. This week, staying with us on the Audio Stash is Keith Strupp, Normal's founder and also legal counsel. He's here to talk with us today about a recent ruling out on reservation land. Once again, industrial hemp has been shut down. Keith, let's talk about this case a bit. Alex Whiteplume on the Pine Ridge Reservation recently had a federal court rule against his hemp-growing efforts. Tell us about the case and about the ruling.
Well, the ruling ended up being disappointing for many of us, of course, but not terribly surprising, because what they did was essentially rule in favor of some earlier decisions that had gone in the same direction. Specifically, there were two or three issues raised by Alex Whiteplume and by two of the hemp companies that he had contracted to sell their hemp products to, or their hemp fiber to. The little background is that Alex Whiteplume and his Ogallala Sioux tribe, I believe it is, had grown industrial hemp crop in the year 2000. The DEA had heard about it and they'd come out and destroyed his crop. They never brought in criminal charges, but they seized the crop. In 2001, he came out again and did the same thing, and once again they came out and seized his crop. And so he didn't give up. He came out and planted a new crop in 2002, and this time the government figured they had had enough of this. So what they did is, instead of criminally prosecuting Alex, which I'm delighted at least they avoided that, they went into federal court and got an injunction enjoining the tribe from growing or manufacturing or distributing cannabis. And the court granted that injunction. That was at the federal district court level. So then it went to the Eighth Circuit, where Alex and his side argued a number of things. First, they argued that industrial hemp is not covered under the Controlled Substances Act. Unfortunately, they lost that argument, as people have in the past, even though you can make an argument that all Congress intended to cover would be cannabis for recreational use, not industrial use. In fact, the clear language of the statute, and that's what the court relies on, talks in terms of, let me just get the language here, the mature stalks of such plants, fiber produced from such stalks, oil or cake made from the seeds of such plant. It's a fairly comprehensive language that the Controlled Substances Act uses. So the court said that under the clear meaning of the language, cannabis, industrial hemp was covered just the same as marijuana was covered. The second argument that they tried to make, which was kind of creative, was they tried to claim that because of the treaty that actually established, I believe, their land, that they should not be covered. I mean, it's called the Treaty of Fort Laramie of 1868. And the Alex White Plume was claiming that that granted his tribe the right to grow industrial hemp. In fact, once again, the court rejected that argument, saying that the treaty did in fact provide in part that any head of a family within the tribe who wished to farm under this treaty, the government was obliged to provide them with a tract of land as well as seeds and agricultural implements for the first year. But there was no mention at all of industrial hemp. It was just general farming. And so the court rejected the argument that the treaty somehow grandfathered in rights to this Indian tribe that other Americans might not be entitled to. And then finally, the last argument was that what's called under the law a substantive due process argument, that is saying that industrial hemp clearly does not fall into the definition of Schedule 1 under the Controlled Substances Act. That's an argument that's been made by Ed Rosenthal, by the Oakland Cannabis Buyers Club, by Angel Raich, by anyone who challenges marijuana's classification. They always make this argument. The court said, number one, that there was no fundamental right to grow cannabis and therefore, or to farm, I should say, to grow industrial hemp, and therefore it was not entitled to the strict scrutiny standard that it otherwise would apply. That it was simply a rational basis review, and the court said that although they recognized that high potential for abuse was one of the criteria for a substance to be listed in Schedule 1, they justified including cannabis in there simply because they say, but problems of detection and enforcement easily justify a ban broader than the psychoactive variety of the plant. So I guess in the bottom line is the Eighth Circuit simply bought the government's argument, and the result is that Alex White Plume and his tribe have no greater rights to grow industrial hemp than would any other American.
Keith, thanks for staying with us here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash to talk about this issue here on Reservation Land. Every single week, we'll have Ask the Lawyers here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Normal's Legal Armada will help us answer legal questions every week here on the Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time for some stash music. Today it is George Clinton with this kicking track, U.S. Customs Coast Guard Dope Dog.
Yo-ho! Doing the doggy style. U.S. Custom Coast Guard Dope Dog, nickname Buster. Like most dope sniffing dogs, he's got a habit, trained to have the habit. Pick up the tracks of the trafficker, trap him like a rabbit up the coastline. Canine, control substance retriever, receiver of the golden nose award for leading through the cash, cashing in on the stash. Now he's in line for his issue of the booty. Never do he do a line in the line of duty. He's a dope dog. U.S. Custom Coast Guard Dope Dog, keen sense of smell, tracking the telltale trails of cartel dope boats, big dope, never a gram or OZ, kilo, too low key, got
gotta be tons of Pueblo, bells of Lumbo, while other dogs sniffing one another's tails. He can track the profits from a dope sale straight to the stink account. Big banks, banking on London, dirty money, not stinking. He follow his nose, and as the wind blows, he get a whiff, he take a sniff. C-I-A-I-O. And with those drugs he bought some arms. C-I-A-I-O. It was a bang bang here and a snort snort there. Here bang there snort, bang and snorts everywhere. O-Mac Uncle starts a war. C-I-A-I-O. But the war on drugs is hell on a dope dog nose. It smells where the nose goes when the dough's closed. And the dealer wanna hide the dope in the booty, in the twat, then it's trying to make the dog sniff and bow, foul as they fart in his face. Damn, for a shitty half gram. U.S. Custom Coast Guard Dope Dog, nicknamed Bust'em. Like most dope sniffing dogs, you gotta have it, trained to have the habit. Pick up the tracks of the traffickers, track them like a rabbit up the coastline. Canine control substance retriever, receiver of the Golden Nose Award.
Some George Clinton here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. We'll also be featuring some pod-safe independent artists on the show, found up at podshow.com. Now it's time for some web polling. First off here today during our web poll segment, we get to announce the winner for our free stuff giveaway that took place on Tuesday of this week. I want to thank everybody who sent in their emails and voted on Tuesday's web poll to get into the drawing for our free stuff giveaways. We'll have free stuff giveaways every single week right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Make sure you listen up every week so that you can enter in. So our winner this week is Jody out in Nevada. Jody, thank you so much for your submission to Normal's free stuff giveaway here at Normal's Daily Audio Stash. We're sending you out a very, very cool little box of stuff from the Normal Foundation. You never know what we're going to throw in there. We've got all kinds of cool promos and giveaways here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, and Jody is our first winner. Thanks again to Jody for entering in our free stuff giveaway. Here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, it's time for our second weekly web poll. Make sure you head up to our website at normalaudiostash.com and cast your vote. Today, our polling is about voting. Sure of America, do you vote in your local, state, and national elections? Do you get involved? It's so easy out there these days. Here in New Mexico, they had voter identification cards, but now you can just go up and state your name and your social security number and you can vote. So do you vote? Want to know how old you are, what state you're in, and if you regularly vote? Send us some comments if you can. The poll form is right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Let's get those votes rolling in, folks. And thanks again to Jody, our first free stuff winner here at Normal's Daily Audio Stash. All right, those emails on the web poll should be rolling in faster than the 440 munchies right now. We're going to get out of here today with this little track found up at podshow.com. Some hip-hop for you today here on the Audio Stash. It's an artist named J-Dox with this little track, Squeezin'.
With a burning passion and desire to spread fire and keep things turning. Hip hop and roll locked in my soul. You think it's J-Dox, but it's Joel. Squeezing like Mr. Whipple did Charmin. Squeezing like Dennis Rodman did Carmen. Squeezing like you wanna do the Dolly Parton. Squeezing like Tisha Campbell being fondled by Martin. Squeezing like ass cheeks to keep from farting. Squeezing like to get the last juice out of the carton. Squeezing like the steering wheel when you're parking. Squeezing like how you hold a knife when you're carving. Squeezing like you hold a mic when you're rhyme starting. Squeezing like when you hold your stomach when you're starving. Squeezing like how you hold a pen when you're marking. Squeezing like your eyes and fists get when you're Cartman.
You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. A big thanks to Keith Strope and Dominic Holden for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We featured Carne Cruda in today's theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.